Our morning resolve. You know, in libraries and internet sites, you will find many resolves. However, my morning resolve, as is found in our manna, is the one we're going to speak of today. On the internet, people that you and I don't know are passing around our morning resolve, and they're using it as a good morning prayer. Our resolve is so spiritual and uplifting, you can find non-brethren using it as a comfort and a guide. Brother Russell likely composed the morning resolve, or at the least edited the final draft. The morning resolve appears to have been introduced in 1913 after the vow of 1908. And it has the same overall intent as the vow, and could be regarded as a supplement to the original vow unto the Lord, in that the first paragraph focuses on the admonition to fulfill my vows. At this time in Bible student history, it would have been obvious to most that this refers to the vow that had been adopted at Bethel, since other than our consecration vows, Bible students then and now are unaware of any scriptural vows that had to be adopted. Further, the Watchtower treated the vow and the morning resolve as one entity, in that postcards, bookmarks, etc., were printed with the two together, a singular admonition in two parts. We generally hear the morning resolve at meeting, or today as we did at convention, maybe at home or weekly studies. For me, the purpose of the vow and our devotional exercises is to stir our spirit within. Use this devotional time to move us towards calm, to move us towards spiritual matters. It is similar to stretching before exercising. It prepares the muscles to receive. And likewise, we prepare our minds to receive during our devotions. We point our minds towards spiritual matters. And we move our minds from where they were to where the Lord would have them receive. So what is resolve? From dictionary.com, to come to a definite or earnest decision about, or to do something. A resolution or determination made as to follow some course of action. Our resolve is our intent or our decision for the day. We are determined and have made a decision to be in harmony with my morning resolve and its contents. We allow the resolve to shape our day. Our resolve starts with my earliest thought, I desire shall be. What does this mean to you? Our earliest thought, or the thought that awakens our day. This thought, this resolve, is for right now, not any other day, but right for today. And so it starts right with my earliest thought for today. Proverbs 4, 25 and 26. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. If we can intercept our flesh while it is just waking up, we can control it, shape it, to look directly ahead, and walk these paths of God as spoken by Solomon. Our resolve continues. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. As you know from Psalms 116, 12 to 14. What benefits do you and I have? Our benefits from God are too numerous to mention. However, from Romans 8:31 and 8:28, you know them well. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Our Heavenly Father authorizes battles against the adversary, and they are fought on your behalf. This single realization is just the start of a long list of benefits towards you and I. And remember that God causes all things to work together. God caused these things to be, so we are asked, what can you and I render back to God for his benefits towards us? And of course, we know the cup of salvation, that's what we render. We are offered to drink, and we do. And we hold it up and say, Father, I want to do this with your help. We demonstrate our willingness to drink from this cup. We accept our training in righteousness for today. We more readily accept our training in righteousness. We accept our trials. We accept the highs, the lows, with our long-term plan of being faithful to God. Does Brother Arbor readily accept his trials? Or do I analyze them to ensure God is on the right path for me? No. We readily submit our bodies to the mighty hand of God. God can only connect the dots of our training if we readily submit ourselves and trust. Resolve continues, and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. Why do we call upon the name of the Lord? To help us with what? Ephesians 6, 11 to 13 from the New Jerusalem Bible. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the devil's tactics. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle. Really, brethren? It is not against human enemies, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are masters of the darkness in this world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. That is why you must take up all God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day, or stand your ground even though you exert yourselves to the full. We call upon the name of the Lord to help us with our battles, because many voices wish that you would call upon them. But we only call upon God. It is impossible to be an overcomer on your own, but God can accomplish it through you. Listen to what Paul said. Or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day or stand your ground, even though you exert yourselves to the full. It is only by calling upon the Lord for grace to help that we can do this. Our resolve continues. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. How do we pay our vows? To make a vow unto the Lord, we speak it. We have each made a covenant or promise to God to sacrifice. Our life experiences arranged by God form our development. If we desire to pay our vows and then speak these thoughts of vow, we will have them with God's blessing. Our resolve continues with, remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me. Gather my saints together to do what? We first come together as the flock of sheep, and as a flock together, sacrifice by our promise, our vow unto the Lord. We are gathered to be sons of God, saints of God. Gather my saints to me, bring in the harvest wheat, not for revealment today, but gather to me to permit your training and learning in righteousness. If you are justified and sanctified, God has accepted your sacrifice. We're being trained and tested to be a saint. The saints are joined to Christ, and he is our head, our bride. We are being gathered to God for an upcoming wedding. My resolve continues. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests. We must rely on the Lord's assisting grace. 2 Corinthians 8:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And in John 15, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And in verse 5, for apart from me, you can do nothing. How much grace do you need? How much grace do I need? 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for this day, today. Now we must fulfill our vow. We made it, we said it, and now we fulfill it. We continue the work of sacrificing. How do I sacrifice my fleshly interests? Yesterday is done. Today we sacrifice. We control our heart motives. We control our tongues. And we do not desire after the futile ways of the world and their desire for lust and pleasure. In fact, we work to ignore the futile cries of our flesh. My resolve continues with, that I may attain to the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. We strive for one faith, one hope, and one baptism. There is one call to a heavenly hope. While this heavenly hope may have been a mystery to you and I previous, it isn't any longer. As Gentiles, we are grafted into this branch, this hope. We hope to inherit the heavenly promise, joint heirs according to Christ. And all this plan for you is only possible through a Redeemer. We are but vapors, as the scripture says. We were nothing before the Holy Spirit first taught us, and we could be nothing afterwards. It is only when we receive our reward at death and are joined in marriage to Christ that we have accomplished anything. Our resolve continues with, how can we be simple and sincere towards all? First, we help others understand us. This means that you are easy for all mankind to approach, especially the brethren. You are easy to get to know. You are easy to shake hands with, and easy to get a hug from. You are easy to talk truth with. You and I are always welcome to approach God through Christ. Likewise, you and I must consistently be easy to approach in every facet of life. If we were ignored by God, we could be so wounded. Ignoring others could wound them also. We do not do this to others. Likewise, God does not do this to us. When the world or the brethren look into our eyes, they see something genuine. It refreshes them. It is the light of the truth as it reflects off your heart. That light can be refreshing. It can be refreshing like a glass of water to someone. Likewise, we wash one another and readily clean one another with the word of God. We don't use a high-pressure fire hose to wash someone with the word. We use portions of our white robe dipped in the water of the word to carefully clean scrapes or infectious wounds in one another. If we don't know how to do this, let us learn it together. Our resolve continues with, I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. In reprint 1570, this is written so spiritually as they all are. I quote, "Our Lord always links the progress and development of our spiritual life with our receiving and obeying the truth. And every child of God should be aware of that teaching which claims to be in advance of the Word, and that Christ or the Holy Spirit speaks to such advanced Christians independently of the Word. The snare is a most dangerous one. It cultivates spiritual pride and boastfulness, and renders powerless the warnings and expositions of the sacred scriptures, because the deluded ones think that they have a higher teacher dwelling in them." Brother Russell goes on to say, "And Satan, taking advantage of the delusion, leads them captive at his will." End of quote. A feeling of arrogance and being superior to others will guarantee you or I a place outside the church class. We have this truth knowledge because of God's grace or unmerited favors, not because you and I were deserving. From Psalms 50:15, "I will honor the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." I enjoyed reprint 5703. I had to read it again to you. It's a little bit long. 5703. "Now today, those who are seeking to honor God, he will be sure to honor. Those who are seeking merely self-honor may obtain some of that honor, may glorify themselves to a certain extent, but it will not be the Lord that will glorify. In the service of his cause, his truth, they will not be honored by him. The Lord resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. The way to honor God is to seek to know his will and do it from sincere hearts. To have God first in all our affairs. To show forth his praises. We are never to mind ourselves, our own honor. We are to serve in accordance with the principles which the Lord is promoting. To seek the glory of the Lord is the proper course for us who are his children and whom he has blessed." End of quote. Our resolve continues. "I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all." While Jesus was dying on the cross, his blood dripped on the ground. Can you picture that in your mind's eye? Those drops of blood were so powerful, they purchased the earth so one day the earth could be restored to Garden of Eden conditions. Brethren, I'm learning that the brother or sister sitting next to you was purchased with that same powerful blood that purchased the earth. Do you and I grasp that? What respect do you and I have for Christ's blood? We get it. We understand it. And we see it in action at conventions and our fellowship one with another. Figuratively speaking, the consecrated brother or sister sitting next to you is on death row. There is no second chance. If someone in our fellowship were actually on an earthly death row waiting, how would you help? Let's say they were innocently accused. What would you do for them? Whatever your answer, this is how we should help all our fellowship. We are all on death row. We have no second chance. If you came to visit this person in their prison, would you be careful what you said? Would your words be blessed and unctuous to all? Your words would be of eternal encouragement. We would want them to be strong and faithful. Tomorrow they may die. Would you want every word to be blessed to them? To all? Yes. But we want to approach all brethren in the same manner. As we approach brethren, we are approaching flesh that has been purchased and paid for by Christ's blood. When we put in context that the brethren, and this includes those who agree with our opinions and those who don't, were each purchased with Christ's blood, this should forever change the way we speak and the manner of our voice to one another. Bring honor to God by showing Him you respect His Son's blood and respect all the brethren who have been purchased by it through your blessed spoken words. Show them the Spirit of Christ and don't be alarmed if you don't get it back, because single-handedly, you, each of us, to a spirit of truth, gentleness. Show us how it's done. Would you rather be accused of being too kind or accused of being too harsh? Our resolve continues. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in the little things of life. Faithful to the Lord? This is where your studies on patient endurance come to play. We plan to be faithful for day one. Then there's day two. Then day seven. Then day 30. Then we try and pace ourselves for the long haul. Want to maintain. We're on a good path. When the Lord permits our flesh to suffer, we control the flesh and the cries it makes. We tell the Lord and the brethren that we are okay. Our new creature is making out okay. The flesh is falling apart. I've got holes in my earthly tent all over the place, but the new man is coming along okay. We rejoice. Our resolve continues with, I will seek to be faithful to the truth. We keep the truth simple like it is, so that anyone who hears it wants to hear more. Faithful to the truth does not mean that we are personally in charge of who should believe what. Faithful to the truth does mean rightly dividing the truth into ages and not letting your ears be tickled by the newer, more improved truth that Christendom may be selling. When your Sunday meeting consists of two or three gathered in God's name, you're okay with that. You don't need the adrenaline rush of your local church. The truth feeds you just fine. Our resolve continues with, I will seek to be faithful to the brethren. We wash one another when we get dirty, and we never remove the right hand of fellowship. Where is the scripture that gives Brother Arbor the right to remove the right hand of fellowship? I'd like to read for you from 5186. I quote, "The word of God points to the fact that Jesus was meek and lowly. This humility of mind and heart was, in many respects, the secret of his success. If he had not been humble, he would not have attained to the glorious station to which he was exalted. Nothing is more dangerous to the child of God than self-conceit. It hinders reformation of heart as well as true usefulness to others, and especially usefulness in God's service. For the word declares, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The scriptures everywhere make prominent the fact that those who would be in harmony with God must be humble. The Lord bestows blessings upon the humble, the meek, the teachable. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. The apostle exhorts, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. End of quote from 5186. We're not being prepared to be vessels of power. That is future. Are we vessels of judgment? No, not yet. Today we are being schooled to be vessels of mercy. So when we hear of those who struggle to shake hands with certain brethren, they may be exercising a right that Christ proved is not theirs, not yet. Not until they are faithful and beyond the veil. This may be one example of not being faithful. Our perception that we can remove the right hand of fellowship really doesn't exist. Therefore, we are not to remove it. Moreover, our truth opinions are not yardsticks to measure other brethren with. God does the measuring. We were asked in 2 Corinthians 6:17 to come out of her, my people. And we did. When we came out, where were we supposed to go? We came to be with you, brethren. Now that we came out of her to be with you, accept us. Let's be faithful to all brethren in God's aim of one faith, one hope, one baptism. And why do you think it's one? Because if we can't fit into the one now, you may prove to God you can't fit into the one church. I would rather live my life shaking hands and welcoming all brethren who believe in the ransom than walking around for eternity saying, if only I would have. Only I would have. Faithful to the brethren? Galatians 6:10. Just one scripture. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. You will recall from your studies that we are to foresee the needs of the brethren. In other words, we look for opportunities to fill the needs of the brethren before they ask. We are not to foresee the needs of the world. We attempt to help the world when the world asks us directly, but for brethren, we foresee the needs they have. This is how we demonstrate faithfulness to brethren. Our resolve reminds us, do these things, but also in the little things of life. God's list of things to be done by his church could possibly be put in two categories. First is the great things category, and second is the little things category. If God presents an opportunity of service to you, whether it's great or small, both opportunities for service are found on God's list of things to do. If you or I don't do them, God always finds someone else to get things done. So you and I pay attention to the details. Our resolve continues. Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. I really love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity. To a future? What magnificent words to trust. Not for calamity, but for future, for hope. Our resolve continues with, I will seek not only to be pure in heart. What scripture comes to mind? Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This means to be perfect in the good intention of your heart and the matters it presides upon. Your Father only has good intentions for you, and you and I are to have the same for all his purchased family. Our resolve continues with, but to repel all anxiety. Boy, if that was easy to do, huh? Matthew 6:31-32 from King James. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. For we do this. We repel the anxiousness which includes keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses don't know what you know. The Joneses don't know what Jesus meant when he asked the disciples to leave their nets. I will make you fishers of men. Let me ask, do you frequently miss meals for lack of money? Do you have a place to rest your head at night? If so, this is one better than the baby Jesus. Are your bills reasonably paid? Are you forced to walk everywhere? Did you walk to convention? Of course not. Any anguish we feel regarding earthly needs form our development. We may have these feelings, but we also learn that the Lord has always taken care of his called ones. We repel anxiety through thought and prayer. Repel all discontent, or repel being dissatisfied. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Reflections on God's promises to you will repel a dissatisfied condition. Our resolve says, repel all discouragement. I feel that discouragement is the adversary's smart bomb. Ephesians 4:27, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Why? He roars around looking to devour you. His smart bomb of discouragement may get you right in the heart. It is well timed and strikes the middle of your zeal. Brethren, you and I need to watch out for this one. Do not give the devil an opportunity to discourage you. When Jesus spoke the words, "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus could see Satan in action. Jesus had his eyes fixed on the path to the cross and could see the adversary was attempting to discourage him. So Jesus spoke these words so you and I would know the adversary is watching our paths and ready to deliver us the discouragement pill. One indication of discouragement is when our flesh says, I've had enough. Repel discouragement by asking the Lord to open your eyes to understand these feelings and to comfort you, and God always will when asked. Our resolve continues with, I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. What is murmur? It is a mumbled or private expression of discontent. And repine is to complain. If our flesh is saying, I have had enough, our prayers must be immediate, sincere, and a request for the adversary to get behind you. When Jesus spoke the words to get behind me, Satan, he spoke them to you and I so that we, to help us see that God can help remove the adversary from our path according to your developmental needs. You and I are okay with this. Galatians 5:23. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why we don't complain. You are wrapped in a cloak of righteousness, provided to you by God through Christ. Your heart wears a vest of mercy. You are purchased with the same blood that purchased the church, the earth, and its inhabitants. These facts alone should be enough to make you and I shout for joy, with no murmur or repine in our flesh. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. My brethren, faith in God is what builds you. He gave faith so you could know him and be his son. How much does God care about you? The death of a saint is precious. He prepared his son to be joined in marriage with you. God permits the earth events to change and move forward as you, the saints, are harvested. God ensures the angels in charge of the four winds stand sturdy, faithful. God manages the adversary as he roars about you. God promises to reveal your name as ransomed and worthy. We had some discussions recently, and the question came up, should we as brethren send money to Haiti? It's a good question. It's a valid question. How would you answer that? Consider that we can do one thing this weekend to help that does not involve money. I share this with you looking at myself first. We can ask the Lord for help and allowing you and I to be honest with ourselves. Maybe to point out a weakness that you and I may possess. We may not see it in ourselves. A willingness to overcome and to ask God to reveal us or reveal within us a fault that needs repair will help towards the completion of the church. We can ask help to see it, then repair it, and overcome it. We pray we have strength to take on the task to change just one more. As we close, if that one thing was the last thing the Lord needed changed in you and I, and was the last thing that could make our calling and election sure, is this not worth all the money we could send? This is how you can help Haiti and every groaning creature that has lived. There is nothing wrong with helping and sending money. The morning resolve can be a tool that can help confirm you as a successful son of God. Your approval by God will contribute to the elimination of suffering of billions of the earth's inhabitants, which is why our morning resolve closes with, faith can firmly trust him, our God, come what may.